tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. You guys look amazing. Thank you so much for being here. It is a huge honor, and especially during this season of rebuilding and coming out of coronavirus and all the isolation and you being here, it matters, and you're making a difference. Thank you so much for being here. This is a series that we're continuing, and the series is entitled The Lamb is Greater Than the Donkey or the Elephant. It is a series about politics, but one thing that I want to say every single week is this is not a series where we are going to tell you who to vote for. This is also not a series where we're going to bash on either of the candidates. Our goal in this series is to have everyone who calls himself a Christian to wrestle with this thought. It comes from Pastor Andy Stanley. It says, are you willing to evaluate your politics through the filter of the Christian faith rather than create a faith that supports your politics? And some of us in the room aren't really into politics, but others of us are very into politics. And the temptation is, because we spend so much time watching and consuming politics, the temptation is to have a worldview that is centered through a political party and then tag a Bible verse on it and say, I vote this way because of Jesus, but in all actuality, you vote for other reasons. And our political parties are shaping the way that we see the world, but they're also helping divide us. And what we're trying to do in this series is we're trying to bring people together and say, you do go to church with people who vote differently than you do. So let's unite and let's come together. And so today I've asked my friend, Pastor Edwin Jones from the Bridge Church in Hampton, to come and to help me with the discussion. Would you help me welcome Pastor Edwin? Pastor Edwin and his wife Ariel and family, they're good friends of ours, and we're so thankful for them. And Edwin, we were talking earlier this week. I couldn't remember how we got connected. How did we first get connected?
Yeah, well, first off, thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to be here. Grateful for you and Monica and the kids and you all's leadership. And it's just great to be here at Next Level. Can you guys put your hands together for Pastor Rob, just in his leadership? Amen. John Maxwell once said, everything rises and falls on leadership, and so you're a great leader, man, and I've learned so much from you. But yeah, I think we connected about 6 years ago the year that we launched the church. My wife and I, we were visiting different churches just to kind of glean from, learn from, get some ideas, but then also just to see a lot of different churches that we normally would not be able to see on a Sunday morning. And so you all were on the short list, and so we were like, man, we got to go to Next Level, got to go check it out. And I remember we were in the back, our oldest, Josiah, who's down here in the front. My wife and kids are here. Good to have y'all. he was about 1 year old, and I remember we were sitting right in the back. I think it's like those four chairs that are right there, not occupied. Yeah. I think we were right there.
Yeah.
Had to be close to the door with kids.
Yeah.
but I remember saying, like, I want to connect with you, you know, after being here and just wanting to build a relationship and things of that nature. And so I remember reaching out to you on Facebook, and we got lunch at Chipotle.
Chipotle, yeah. And, yeah, we did.
The rest was history.
That's right.
We found out we were Lakers fans.
That's right. We're both Lakers fans, yeah. Yeah, and I found out pretty quickly that we do have a lot in common and that we like to talk with each other.
Yes.
In fact, there have been times where talking kind of makes the time go by really fast.
Very fast.
Not too long ago, we talked for 3 hours about the Lakers.
Yes.
3 hours.
Yes.
My wife was texting me, like, what is going on with you? Where are you at? And I had no idea that 3 hours went by. Legit, like, 3 hours over FaceTime.
Yeah.
Over FaceTime. So I say that just to say I love you, but I also know that if we don't get into things, we're going to talk, and this thing could last for three
Forever.
Hours.
So yes.
I want to jump into our subject and what we're talking about today. And one of the reasons why I wanted you to come is you had a post on social media that got some attention.
Yeah.
And I saw it on Instagram. Well, first of all, my wife told me about it. She's like, you got to go see Pastor Edwin's post. And so I saw it on Instagram, and then I saw it on Facebook. And what you posted is, I'll just read it. You said, praying for President Trump and Melania and them testing positive for COVID-19. Christian family, please let's not play the conspiracy card with this. And if that's your belief, keep it to yourself. And if we're rejoicing in this or apathetic to it, we need to check our hearts. People have been dying all year because of this sickness. All we know is all we know. Whatever you may feel about him, pray for him and his family. And that got some interesting responses. Some people were supportive, but there was some pushback that you got from that. Walk us through that. What was the pushback with that?
Yeah, some of the pushback was kind of, I think, you know, and I think in from a holistic perspective, I think many people kind of weren't necessarily kind of wishing any harm, but I think some people had maybe a little bit of tension with that because of the way they may feel about President Trump and his leadership and maybe not agreeing with certain things that he said and that he's done through the past few years. And even with this year, with some of the things that have kind of taken place. And so when it came to a moment of, you know, let's pray for him, let's show some compassion, show some concern, you know, it was kind of met with a little bit of hostility, like, you know, why should we show compassion when it kind of feels as if that hasn't been demonstrated on his part? And so that's, you know, those are some of the responses that some people were kind of providing and kind of giving. And so for me, it was like, number one, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
And the Bible calls me to pray for those who are in leadership.
That's right.
But then even beyond that, he's somebody who's been made in the image of God. And people have been dying from COVID-19. And we know some people who have unfortunately passed because of it. And so just as we would pray for anybody else who got the virus, we would also want to pray for him too.
That's right.
And so for me, it was like almost like a common sense thing. Like, hey, let's not make this about politics in this moment. Like, this is somebody who that we know is sick. Like,
yeah.
Let's pray for him. Let's actually be the church. Let's lead with love.
And that's
so
good.
But obviously that kind of stirred the hornet's nest, if
you
will.
Yeah. And politics always does.
Yeah.
No matter what you post. I had a post this week that I thought was very middle of the road, that if you're a Christian, you're going to upset both sides because you have a Christian worldview.
Right.
And, I stepped all over the hornet's nest. I had to delete the post because of the,
wow.
the comments. They just got out of hand.
It's crazy.
But you alluded to it. There's a verse that gives us this command.
Yeah.
And so this is not something that Christians can debate. Like, what you did is what Christians are commanded to do. We get it from 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. And this is written by the Apostle Paul, which at Next Level we say that Paul's a primetime player. He wrote this to his young Padawan, his young protege named Timothy. Yeah. And this is what he tells him. He says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live in peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is the command for God's people. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're not bound by that. And I love that you're here. I love that you came to church and are checking things out, especially during the pandemic. I think that's awesome that you're here today. But if you are a Christian, this isn't one of the debatable verses. This isn't one of the things in the Bible that we can go back and forth and say, I interpret it differently. This is pretty cut and dry, that as a Christian, you are called to pray for those that are in authority. Yeah. All right. Does that mean, though, that the prayer should be, dear God, I don't like who's in the White House. Would you get them out? Is that the kind of prayer that we're talking about?
No.
What does this prayer mean?
Yeah, really. I think it's at the core. It's praying for the soul of that person. Praying. Paul actually kind of speaks a little bit more about it in the next few verses. He says, this act of praying is good. It pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And so when we're praying for people in leadership, we're praying that God will work on their hearts. We're praying for their well-being. We're praying that God would grant them wisdom and that he would send people into their life to give wisdom. But at the core, we're praying for their souls to be saved.
Yeah.
We're praying for their salvation, for them to know Jesus. Like, as a Christian, Jesus is he isn't everything in which my life revolves around. So yeah. I have to view people through the lens of how Jesus views them. And so that's what we're praying for.
Yeah.
You know, we can maybe agree or disagree with whoever may be in office, whoever may be in, you know, different governmental positions. But at the core, we should pray for them.
That's right.
Not praying any harm on their lives, but praying that they would come to know Christ.
Yeah.
And praying for their betterment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. And that takes us to our big idea for today. If you're taking notes, which I encourage you to do, feel free to write this down or you can take a picture of it on the screen. Our big idea is one of the chief ways we honor God is in the way we respond to those who he has put in authority over us. Scripture is clear that God is the one that establishes authority. And so even authorities that we may not support or we may not like, as Christians, we are called to honor them. But the pushback on this is, what do we do if we view the person in authority as evil? What do we do if we really disagree with them? And so I want to take it out of our current political landscape,
right,
and I want to rewind to a time that we've learned about in history. There is a time in Nazi Germany where Hitler was the authority, and the scripture would still tell the Christians that were living then that they were to honor him, even though we would all say that he is evil. I don't think that's a controversial statement. I think we can all agree that Hitler was evil. Hitler would be a very difficult person to honor. How do you honor someone that you would say, no, that person is doing evil. They're doing harm in the world. How do we live this verse out if we were living in Nazi Germany?
Yeah, I think it is holding that tension of, I'm not agreeing with how you are treating people. And as a Christian, we do have a right and responsibility to use our influence, to use the resources and the abilities that God has given us to advocate for the well-being of others. But on the same token, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm wishing any harm on that person. And I think when we kind of understand how Scripture talks about how God has established government here on earth for the well-being of others, as a Christian, because I know that, and because I now have a high view of government, not based upon culture, but just based upon what God says, I now can then hold my government to that high standard if they're kind of falling out of line into which God would desire them to function. And so I can hold my leaders accountable, and I can kind of call out things if things are being done in an improper way without, you know, dishonoring them or without humiliating or slandering, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a moment. And still really kind of step up to the plate. So if things are not happening the way they should, then as a Christian, I do have a responsibility to ask God, okay, how would you have me to respond to this? And so how Christians were responding when all the things, terrible things that Hitler was doing, was they were hiding people who were being oppressed to care for them and to essentially save their lives and to save their families. And so I think even though we don't necessarily live in that type of a climate, we still have to ask the fundamental question, okay, God, how would you have me to respond in times where governmental leaders are not, you know, operating at the level that you would have them to operate in? I think that's what we should be asking as Christians.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. And I love this quote that you said earlier this week. This is a quote that's worthy of posting on social media, in my opinion. You said, when love is present, justice will follow. When bitterness is present, vindication will follow. So walk us through that. What does that mean? When love is present, justice will follow.
Right.
But when bitterness is present, vindication will follow.
So I think if we're leading from a place of love, we will have a spirit about us just as Jesus did when he went into the temple and he saw people being taken advantage of. And he goes into the temple and he's literally flipping tables because things were not operating at the level in which they should. And people were being taken advantage of in a way that God would not desire and does not desire. And so when love is present, then I want to bring about God's rule and God's reign in a kingdom way. If anger is present and bitterness is present, then justice won't necessarily be the result of that. Now vindication or vengeance will follow, which is why Paul says in Ephesians 4, get rid of all bitterness, slander, anger, malice, get rid of all that stuff out of your heart, because the only thing that can come from that is just this vindictive type of a spirit now where I look at everybody as my enemy and I want to bring them harm.
Yeah.
And that's not the kingdom way.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. As humans, though, we feel like it's not enough unless we say something. We feel like when we disagree with someone, especially when someone is doing something we feel is wrong, we feel like we have to yell at them or we have to call
right.
it out.
Yeah.
Did you know that there's actually examples in early Christianity where Christians changed the government, and it wasn't because they put a Facebook post up about them. It wasn't because they shared their opinion about them. In the Roman government, what was commonly practiced was infanticide, which meant that no one questioned this practice. And the practice was, if you had a baby that you did not want, you would take that baby outside the walls of Rome, and you would put the baby in the forest, in the woods, and you would let the gods decide the baby's fate. So if your baby had special needs or had a defect, or if your baby was a female, they valued men, they did not value women. And so if you already had a daughter, they would say, okay, let the gods decide your fate. And they literally would put this baby in the woods and just let the animals and let the wild take care of the baby. And babies died left and right. And no one in the Roman government questioned this. No one was like, this is a horrible practice. No one was posting on Facebook, I can't believe you do this. Everyone, this is just normal. That was normal life.
Yeah.
It changed because the Christians said, because we value all life, this is wrong. And Christians went out and started collecting babies in the woods, even though they didn't have money, and even though they didn't have food to feed their own families, they were taking care of these babies. So much so that in 318 AD, Emperor Constantine declares that infanticide is illegal. Literally, the Roman government changed their stance, not because of a Facebook post, but because Christians put action out there. They actually did something about it, and it made people scratch their heads and say, wow, these babies do have life. They do have matter. This means something.
Yeah.
And so this is something, though, that I feel like is an important tension, because often we feel like if I disagree with you,
right,
I can't honor you.
Right.
And if I disagree with you, then I need to call you out. I need to yell at you. I need to tell you how wrong you are.
Right.
But we can change the world. We can change the world by our actions.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that is an art to learn how to disagree with somebody without dishonoring them. But I think at the same time, I think we somewhat know how to do that on certain levels. So we talk many times how we're Lakers fans.
Amen.
And we know people who are Celtics fans, which is the biggest rivalry in
the NBA.
That's
right. That's right.
So, you know, they haven't seen the light yet. We're praying for them.
We're praying for them.
So we disagree on that level, on the sports level. Like, we have different teams, but we still love them. We still treat them with dignity. We still treat them with respect. So we get that. We kind of go a little bit deeper on a relational level. You know, parents in here, I'm pretty sure all of our kids maybe do some things that you do not agree with from time to time.
That's right.
Can I get a good amen, right?
That's right.
but you still love them.
That's right.
And you still treat them with dignity and respect. And so I think we understand that. But for some reason, when we get to politics especially, or when we get to other, you know, hot topic matters, it's like now we kind of begin to split hairs. And I think God wants us to kind of rise above that, where we can say, you know what, I may not agree with that or agree with you on that particular topic or perspective, but I don't have to dishonor you. Like, I can still love you because you've been created in likeness and image of God, just like I have. And so at the end of the day, we may, you know, posture ourselves on different sides, whatever the case may be. But all of that pales in comparison to the fact that, man, we're called to love one another.
Yeah.
So I think that is really what really kind of begins to change the world, where people can see, like, okay, you guys disagree with each other, and y'all have two totally different perspectives, but yet you guys treat each other with love, kindness, and respect.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that. How do y'all do that?
Yeah. And I think this is why it's so important to make sure that we have a Christian worldview and that we view everything through the lens of Christianity. Because what we're talking about is not natural.
Right.
The only reason we can do this is because Jesus has done it for us.
Absolutely.
Like over the weekend, there was an incident with my family. There was a neighbor who wasn't acting very neighborly. And my kids' response to that was, well, we should get them back. We should do this. And I was like, wait, why? Wait, that's not the Christian response. And my son says, well, they hurt us. We should hurt them. And I'm like, who's raising you? Like, no. That's not how we treat people.
That's not the way.
I was blown away because I pray over my kids every single night. God, help us to treat others the way that you've treated us.
Yes.
Not the way that we're feeling, but the way that you've treated us.
Yeah.
And this is why it is so important to have a Christian worldview, because when it comes to differences, it's natural to want to fight. It's natural to have this divide that comes between us and to say, well, because we disagree, therefore you are evil. That's why I think there's so much power in what Paul writes in Titus 3, 1 through 2. Paul writes, remind the people. Remind them. We got to be reminded of this.
Over
this is something
and over.
We forget
yes.
over and over again.
Yes.
Remind the people
That's
to
good.
Be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. Now, there are some words that are underlined. Would you humor me and just read these words out loud? It says, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to politics, I see a lot of slander.
A lot of slander. Yeah.
So walk us through, how are Christians supposed to apply this, especially when we disagree with someone? We think, well, what they're doing is wrong. How do we not slander them?
Yeah, I think sometimes we'll conflate the two. We'll sometimes maybe think that holding somebody accountable is slander, but that accountability and slander are two different things. Accountability is saying, what this person is doing is wrong.
Yeah.
We need to make matters right. Slander goes a step further in saying that not only is this person doing something wrong, But they are evil person. They are a wicked person. Mm. You know, they are less than. They're not worthy of being called a human being. Now we're stepping into ungodly territory at a whole nother level because now we literally are slandering them. And in many ways, we are harboring some bit of resentment in our heart and hatred, I think, in our heart towards that person. And Jesus actually kind of takes it up a notch in Matthew 5 where he says, if you have hatred in your heart towards somebody, you've already committed murder. Mm. And so when we're talking about slander and hatred are like first cousins.
Yeah.
they go hand in hand. They're in the same family. And so this is why Paul says, get rid of all hate, all malice, all bitterness that's in your heart. Why? Because it can lead to all of this, which then leads to other things. And so as the body of Christ, we're called to walk in wisdom. We're called to walk in truth, but we're called to do so in love.
Right.
And it's interesting that Paul says what he says here in Titus 3, because in the next few verses, he says, be kind to one another, because God was also kind to you, forgiving you of all of your sins. So every time Paul gives an admonition of praying for somebody, forgiving somebody, being kind to somebody, he always attaches it to the gospel message of what Jesus Christ did. So he says, forgive one another. Well, Paul, I don't really want to forgive them because of what they did to me. Well, remember, God forgave you and you were messed up too.
That's good.
Then Jesus says it, love your enemies. Well, I don't really want to love people who I don't like. And then Paul says, remember, at one point, you were also enemies of God, but God demonstrated his love for you by sending Christ to die. So every time we get a tough instruction like that, on the heels of it, it's always followed up, this is what God did for you in Christ. This is what God did for you in Christ. So it's literally him saying, remind the people of this.
Yeah.
So just in case you kind of get on this high horse and saying, they're not worthy of mercy, they're not worthy of grace, they're not worthy of love, they're not worthy of forgiveness, neither were you or myself, but God extended to us anyway.
That's good. Yeah. That's a good word. That's a good word. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting some amens. I like it. I need to bring you in more often. I haven't heard that many amens in a long time.
Since pre-COVID.
That's right. Since pre-COVID. That's good. That's good. I think that if we could just zoom back a little bit and think through our actions, oftentimes, especially when it comes to social media, we get so in our emotions, we get so in our feelings that we just post something and we don't think big picture.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this or not, but if you post something negative about someone in office, the president or the next president, if you post someone in office, if you post it on Facebook, did you know that he won't see it? He doesn't read your Facebook posts. So then we've got to think through, okay, if he doesn't see it, who does see it?
That's a good question.
Who does see our posts?
Yeah.
It's our neighbors.
Yeah.
It's our coworkers.
Yeah.
It's our friends. Yeah. It's the people who may not know Jesus yet,
absolutely,
and yet they're looking at us as maybe the only Christian that they know.
Right.
And so when Paul says, do not slander, it's not just about, well, that means I can't disagree with those in authority. It's about you represent something so much bigger than yourself.
That's good.
And ultimately, we don't slander because what Jesus did for us.
Yeah.
John Bevere is an author, and he says, to slander governmental authority is never an act of godliness.
Yeah.
So how do we honor authority and still push back without slandering them?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like we mentioned earlier. You know, we can hold them accountable.
Yeah.
I think we can. The Bible talks about in Ephesians 4 to speak the truth in love. So we can speak the truth and we can be loving, but we can still speak the truth. And we can do so in a gracious way. John talks about it in John chapter 1, how Jesus came full of grace and truth. And oftentimes, we like to kind of pick and choose which one we want to live out more. So we might be like, all grace, grace, grace. Or on the flip side, we might be all truth, truth, truth. And God is like, no, 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 no. I've called you to be salt and light, to embody both. So embody grace and truth. So you can speak against the things that you kind of may see and may not agree with, but do so in a loving way, not in a divisive way, not in a way that is going to shame the name of Jesus Christ, because like, to your point, which I think is phenomenal, we as Christians, we represent the kingdom.
That's right.
So we don't represent Democrats. We don't represent the Republican Party. Like, our party is the Lamb.
That's right.
And so because he is who we represent, we want to make sure that we're salt and light. So holding that tension of grace and truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is not easy to do.
Not one bit.
Because, and I love that you bring this up, it's a reason why we need each other. Because I tend to be more on the grace side which means that sometimes people do stuff and they need to have a hard truth to them. And I'm like, well, I don't want to rock the boat. You may be more on the truth side,
right,
which you're going to rock the boat, right, but it may not come with grace.
Right.
But together, think about how powerful we can
right
be, where we can address a subject and say, hey, here's some truth and here is some grace,
yeah,
which we need both in these situations. So because we are so different, even with the way that we view grace and truth, human
yeah
beings, we're different.
Sure.
There's so many things that divide us, whether it's sports teams or politics
right
or race. There's so many things to divide us. How do we come together despite our different political leanings?
Yeah, I think it's going to sound very monotonous. We go back to the cross.
Yeah.
We look at what Jesus did. And so a lot of times we like to focus on one dimension of the cross. The cross has two beams,
yeah,
vertical and horizontal. And I like to say vertical kind of represents metaphorically our relationship with God. So the Bible talks about how in Christ we've been reconciled to God, made right with God. But then there's also a horizontal beam, which represents us being reconciled to one another. So when Jesus was on the cross, he had outstretched hands to both thieves on each side of the cross. And that represents how Jesus now brings people together from so many different backgrounds,
yeah,
ethnicities, colors, creeds, backgrounds, whatever the case may be, political affiliations, and he makes a whole new family called the body of Christ. The whole book of Ephesians is all about that. Ephesians chapter 2 specifically talk about how Jesus has taken all of these people from all these different walks of life, and he's brought them together as one. And so much all throughout the Gospels, more specifically the epistles, when Paul is writing, he talks about there is neither Jew nor Greek,
yeah,
Jew nor Gentile, male nor free,
yeah,
female,
yeah,
rich or poor. Like, he's constantly given all the labels that oftentimes people attach themselves to, all the ways in which people try to divide people amongst, whether it's racial lines, ethnic lines, generational lines, gender lines. Paul says, in Christ Jesus, y'all are all one. We're one big family. And this family is made up of white people. It's made up of black people, Asian, Latino, rich, poor, young, old, Democrat, Republican. It is made up of all people.
That's right.
And so Paul is, it's almost as if Paul is saying, hey, listen, y'all are family. So, yes, you may have a family member who may vote differently than you. You may have a family member who may look differently than you. But at the end of the day, y'all are in Christ, and y'all are family.
Yep.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
And so I think when we kind of go back to what Jesus has done and go back to who he is, it begins, I think, help us to see with clarity, like, you know what? Like, politics are important, but they're not more important than what Jesus did.
Yeah.
I had a mentor of mine say, do not allow the donkey or the elephant to tear apart what the lamb has done.
That's good.
Do not allow the donkey or the elephant tear apart what the lamb has accomplished. The
yeah
lamb being Jesus. What has yeah he accomplished? He's brought people together.
Yeah.
And we live in a time that likes to divide people across so many different platforms and ideologies and perspectives. But Jesus is saying, I brought everybody together through my blood to make you one.
Yeah, that's yeah powerful. That's good. That's good. And I want you guys to think about this just for a second. This is off script. I just thought about this when you were saying that. The church, in a lot of ways in America, has lost the thing that makes it attractive.
Yeah.
That no longer do people need the church to receive some of the benefits of the church. So stick with me on this one, okay? If you were a single growing up in the 80s or 90s, you were a single Christian, and you wanted to meet other Christians, where did you go? The church. Today, if you're single, you can get online and you can meet Christians. So
yeah
the need is gone.
Mm.
In the 80s and 90s, you know, the time where I kind of grew up, if you wanted worship music, you had to go to church to receive worship music.
Yeah.
Now, there's amazing worship music on all over the place. You can get it. When I was growing up, if I wanted great preaching, I had to go to church. I had to go to youth group to hear it. Today, you can hear it everywhere.
Mm. Wow.
So because
wow
of our smartphones, that some of the needs that the church meets, they're no longer there. But the one thing that the church meets that nothing else meets is this command to love one another.
Yeah.
And how powerful is it to our community and to our world where all they see is divide, but then they can come to church and say, I don't know how you guys can be
right
friends. I don't know how you guys can go to church
yeah
with one another. You look different. You vote different. But what's our common theme?
Jesus.
It's Jesus.
All day.
That's what brings us together.
Yep.
So that's absolutely awesome. So in our closing moments, what is one thing that you wish Christians would do with all of this? What's one thing that you wish Christians would do with all this information?
My hope and desire is that we would see everything through the lens of what Jesus has done. That I really believe if 2020 has not done anything more, I really hope more than anything else, it has created the pathway for the church to really be the church,
that's right.
To model what love looks like, to model what grace looks like, to model what mercy looks like, to model what forgiveness, patience, long-suffering, self-control. Like, my prayer is that, like, we as the body of Christ would model that, because I really do believe that now becomes the evangelistic tool to reach people.
That's right.
Because people can see division everywhere. People look in their family, there's division. You look in your jobs, there's division. There's hatred. We look in our communities, we see that. But the church should really kind of be the answer. I believe that the local church is the hope of the world.
That's right.
Because we have the greatest message in this world, which is the gospel of Christ.
That's right.
And how the gospel tears down dividing walls between God and humanity, humanity itself. And so when we really kind of rise up, and I think, and become the hands and feet of Jesus like we're supposed to be, then I think what can happen is no matter who gets in office, no matter who wins in the next few weeks, like, people will begin to say that there is something much greater here than what we see on the surface in the form of government, and his name is Jesus through the church.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And that takes us to today's win. Today's win is in the next 20 days, maybe a few less days than that at this point, but in the next handful of days, please don't let the elephants and the donkeys make you forget you belong to the Lamb. We're just a few weeks away from the election, and people are going to ramp up their posts, and you may be sitting next to someone that may post something in the next few weeks that's going to make you want to lose your Jesus, that you're just like, I totally disagree with that.
Yeah.
I fundamentally disagree with them, but you still go to church with them.
Yeah.
And so don't let the donkey or the elephant divide us. Remember, you belong to the Lamb. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you so much that you're a God who brings together different people, and that you're a God that gives us a common item to be bonded over, and that is your Son, and the fact that, Jesus, you forgave us first. You loved us first. You came to us first. You reached out. You saved us. You are our example. So we ask in Jesus' name that we would walk away from here, and we would return what we have received from you. We thank you for what you're going to do, and we ask that you would use us, and that you would use Next Level Church to draw people to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.